It is my privilege to be here this morning as being able to stand behind the pulpit and try and deliver something God has placed on our hearts, and hoping that it'll be a challenge and a blessing to every person here this morning. That is our desire, and every time that we stand behind this pulpit, it is a great responsibility and a sobering responsibility, but also a great privilege. I think back through the years how many times that God has given us this opportunity, and I think that I don't get any less nervous. I still continue to be nervous. Maybe that's why I feel it's warm. I'm not sure. But I continue to feel nervous, but I just feel it a great privilege as well. But I'm also excited. I'm always excited to share what God has placed in my heart, hoping that it'll be a blessing, hoping that His truth, knowing that His truth is what changes lives, knowing that it is His truth, and that is all my simple desire, is that we would be able to grow in these truths and be able to learn together. We find ourselves in the midst of what I call the forgotten holiday. You go straight from the October festivities, which is the Halloween and all that kind of stuff, and it seems to jump straight into Christmas time, straight into the Hallmark movies, straight into the tamale season, right? And we're there already into Christmas, already thinking about Christmas decorations every store we go to. But here's the church. I'm glad that here we're taking this day to make sure and have food. No, not to have food. But make sure that we have a time that we set aside for Thanksgiving, for the rejoicing of the Thanksgiving season. I trust that this week, as you gather with your family, that you'll make a special emphasis of that. It's not, we don't have, I know that many people believe that on Thursday we celebrate Black Friday Eve, right? But no, that's not what that is. It's actually its own day. It's Thanksgiving. It's the day we pause and consider remembering those pilgrims and remembering that special occasion here in the founding of this country, when by God's sovereign grace and by God's providential provision, there was able to be a small group of people to make it through a very difficult time and learn how to do certain things and to be able to have that harvest and to be able to survive that upcoming winter because of God's providential care. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's about praising God as a nation. It's about praising God and thanking God as families, as individuals, just thanking God for His many blessings. And so this is the forgotten holiday, but trusting that you and I have not forgotten about it, we are in the midst of celebrating that. And with that in mind, I kind of wanted to share with you something that I believe will help us to and guide us to abounding in Thanksgiving, abounding in Thanksgiving. And I find that there is certain texts that, if you study Thanksgiving in Scripture, man, there is a lot to say, and there's a lot of different probably texts that we could look at to speak about Thanksgiving. But I wanted to take this portion this morning and hope that together, as we look at it, it would really drive home some realities to us that would then allow us to, throughout this week and going forward, to truly abound in Thanksgiving. If you would go with me to the book of Colossians, and here the writer of Colossians, the author of the book of Colossians, is the great apostle Paul. And Paul is writing to a church that is found in a city called Colossae. And here in this city of Colossae, there's a group of people, much like you and I. They're just people, right? And they've come to encounter this Savior. They've come to encounter this Jesus and who He was, the fulfillment of the prophecies of Old Testament. And He was the Messiah, and He is the Messiah. And that truth and that gospel reaches this group and this city. And man, it makes a big... God intended it for Christians of 2019 at Bethany Baptist Church in November. God intended for us to also be able to look at it and to grow from it and grow through it, much like He intended when the initial audience was received in the city of Colossae here in the book of Colossians. And so we find ourselves there, and many great truths are found in Colossians as Paul himself is talking about the thankfulness that he has towards what these Christians are doing, and he speaks about what God has given him to do and why he's sending them this letter, because God has given them this ministry of being able to minister to these churches and minister to these Christians. And as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he claims that apostleship, and he says, based on this authority and based on the truth that I know of God, I am sending you these truths so that they'll help to guide you and they'll help you to grow and they'll help you to become what God wants you to be. And so that's where we find ourselves in Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to look at two verses that hopefully will help us to receive some really great truths and be able to establish some great truths that we believe will end in us abounding in thanksgiving. Will end in abounding in thanksgiving, because thus that's what the scripture says. So two verses, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 is what I will be reading, and then we'll ask for God's help and God's direction, and then we'll race to be able to see some truths before we're dismissed here this morning. Let's read, listen carefully as I read. As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein, or abounding in thanksgiving. This morning we find these two verses that Paul, as he delivers to these new Christians, he tells them, look, there's something that you've done right. There's some things that you need to make sure that you're aware of in what you've done right. And going forward, this will help you to be able to rejoice, to be able to be grateful, to be able to abound in thanksgiving. And I find some great truths in those two verses that hopefully this morning will speak to us, and speak as they have spoken to me. Hopefully they'll speak to you this morning. We will pray and ask for God's direction this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth therein, Father. Lord, I thank you because your word is the only hope of humanity. Separate and apart from your truth, Father, there can be many great moral principles and ideas and ideologies. But Father, apart from your truth, we are hopeless. And there's nothing that will be gained or learned that can bring about the change that only your word can bring. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that your word would do the work in my heart, that it would do the work in every heart here. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Colossians chapter 2, we find that Paul lays out some truths that lead to abounding in thanksgiving. And this morning, dear friend, I want to encourage you, because I believe it is one of the principal virtues of our time that is in great need of being further developed. I believe that here in our area, where we are just most blessed and where we are just most abounding in God's providential blessings upon us, it can be easy to fall into a state of unthankfulness, of ungratefulness. It is very easy to fall into a state of just believing that all that we have and all that has been poured in regards to blessings on us just are and will always be, regardless of our heart of thanksgiving. I want to tell you that this morning, God cautions us through his word to remember certain things, to call upon and to look upon and to be dedicated towards certain things, because those things will continue to lead us to abounding in thanksgiving. And when I come to a generation that I believe is in great need of that, I can look at it and I can say, man, you know what? You know what would be good? And I have four boys, four children, and sometimes I look at them, and as a parent, I guess it's probably every parent, we look at them, we say, oh man, they have so much and they're so blessed. And man, you know what? One week I'm just going to take away everything they have, and that way maybe the next week I'll give them like one or two things, and they'll be thankful for those one or two things. And sometimes our mind goes there as evil, wicked parents. But no, I'm just kidding. But sometimes we go there thinking, man, maybe if even as Christians, we'll say, oh, God will take that away from us. But not necessarily. That's not what I'm threatening or saying this morning. I'm just saying that the blessings of God are such that we should be thankful for them, should look upon them and realize that those are great, incredible things that generations before us would never have had. generations before us longed to have. Even as you look at these early Christians, you realize that the reality was that many times just the congregating of themselves was a threat. We'll find if you study history that in the years following this church, there arose up a leader that was going to persecute many of them, and that many of them were going to suffer. And you look at them and you say, man, oh, what they missed out on. No, sometimes I feel like we missed out on, because we just go through life and we float through life with all that God has given us, and we don't develop that heart of thankfulness and gratefulness. This morning, I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us in regards to the steps that lead to that abounding in thanksgiving. And so we see here in verse number 6, if you'll go with me, it starts off by the Apostle Paul saying to the Christians, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. I believe that in order to reach the point of abounding in thanksgiving, number one, you must be receivers of Christ. You must be receivers of Christ. In chapter 2 and verse number 5, it talks about this. It says at the last part of verse number 5, join and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. In order to be a receiver of Christ, there must be faith in Christ. This morning, as you and I sit here and as we rejoice in this season of thanksgiving, can I tell you that truly abounding in thanksgiving only comes about when you are a receiver in Christ. And in order to be a receiver of Christ, you must have faith in Christ. Because a receiver of Christ is somebody who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. It's by faith in Christ alone that we become receivers of Christ. You see, this morning, it is very important to not only make a point of that aspect of it, but to realize the opposite, or realize that what's not left in there. Put that verse back up there, because I want you to realize something here in verse number 6. It says, as ye therefore received, and we, in verse number 6, it says there in verse number 6, as ye therefore have received, and it doesn't say, as ye have therefore received religion, does it? It doesn't say, as therefore you have received these sets of standards and doctrines and certain rules and regulations that guide your everyday activity. No, it says there in the verse, as ye therefore have received, who? Christ. You see, this morning it's very important, because I believe that we can become cold and indifferent and unthankful in our hearts, because many of us, we look at it and we say, yeah, this is the religion my parents have given me. This is the tradition that I grew up in. And I'll talk with people many times, and when we speak of such things, they will refer to themselves as being followers of this denomination or followers of this faith. But I want to tell you this morning that I'm not a follower of a certain faith. I'm not a follower of a certain denomination. There's not rules and regulations that guide my life. There is a person who is Jesus Christ, who I have received. And this morning, I'm a receiver of Christ. If it's not at 70, brother, back there, just go ahead and go down to 70 for me. We have received Christ. We have not received a religion. We have not received something that is a tradition of man. We have received Christ by faith in Christ. In chapter 1, it goes on, because Paul wanted to make sure to these early Christians that they realize this is what we call doctrine. This is what separates us from the idea of a religion to a very reality of a living faith. And this is where in chapter 1 and verse number 20, it says this in Colossians 1 and verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, for by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth and things or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Look at me, dear friend, this morning. I want to tell you that if you've never found yourself in the Bible, I found myself right here. You and I find ourselves right there in verse number 20. And you that were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. You and I, dear friend, this morning, that is where we were or are. We are enemies in our minds of who? Of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, no, we are all babies are innocent and we're all just a clean slate. No, dear friend, that is humanism. The Bible presents that you and I are born in sin and are born in wickedness. We are, by our very nature, enemies of God because sin abides in us. And so, therefore, in order to ever one day be somebody who abounds with thanksgiving, abounds in thanksgiving, we must be receivers of Christ by faith, by being reconciled through Christ's blood. Goes on to say in verse number 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you a holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and that which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Again, Paul asserting his apostleship, but he goes on in that assertion, he says, but it's based on this. It's based on this truth, on the fact that Jesus Christ, I place my faith in him, that Jesus Christ reconciled me who was an enemy of his, me who was lost in my transgressions, in the wickedness of my mind, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I was reconciled. I became a receiver of Christ, a receiver of Christ. Verse 27 there in chapter 1 goes on to say, not only by faith in Christ, by being reconciled through Christ's blood, but look at what it says in verse number 27 of chapter 1, to whom God would have make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This was very important to this culture. Because you see, there was a time where they taught that, you see, Christ was only for the Jews. They taught that, you see, Christ was only for this certain group of people. Christ was only part of this chosen group. But no, Paul goes on to say, look, this is the great mystery. This is the amazing reality of the church age, is that the gospel was taken to the Gentiles. You and I, most of us, except for Brother Ken, you and I here, we're all Gentiles. And we're here to say, and I'm here to say that this morning, we have much to be abounding in thanksgiving for, because we have been made receivers of Christ through the reconciliation of his work, of his blood, because he was Christ, and he came to live in you. Says that this is it. This is the amazing glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dear friend, this morning, if you're a Christian, you're struggling to find a thankful heart, a thankful spirit, if you're struggling to find that gratefulness, that thankfulness that makes you walk in through that door back there with a smile on your face on Sunday morning, with a step and a pep in your step and with an excitement, maybe it's because you forgot what we have in being receivers of Christ. What we have by being receivers of Christ. Oh, when we stop and consider, Paul brought those Christians back to that reality, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord. Don't forget that you're a receiver of Christ. What a great blessing. Oh, but so many times we have that initial first love, and we come back from camp, or we come back from that first Sunday wherein we gave our heart to Christ, or maybe it was young in our childhood, and we've now gone through several years in coming to church and being a part of Sunday school, being a part of youth group, and it just kind of faded away. It's lost its luster. Can I tell you, dear friends, this morning, that we need to go back and remember what we have in being receivers of Christ. Because, man, it will make all the difference about abounding in thanksgiving. There will be no problem with having thanksgiving flow out of our hearts when we remember that we are receivers of Christ. But let me just finish this point with this reality. If you're here this morning and you can't place your finger on a calendar, you can't place your finger on a date, on an event, on a moment in your life where you remember being a receiver of Christ, where you remember turning away and that transaction of coming to God with your sin, God taking his blood, washing that sin, taking the righteousness of Jesus Christ and putting it on you, that is what we call salvation. If you can't remember that taking place in you, then you can never abound in thanksgiving. And this morning, God has brought you here this morning to make you realize that you need to begin with being a receiver of Christ. Because in receiving Christ, it changes your heart, it changes your life, it changes your eternity, and now you can abound in thanksgiving. Being receivers in Christ, by faith in Christ, by being reconciled through his blood, by having Christ in you. But then it goes on in verse number 6, it says, so walk ye in him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up. To abound in thanksgiving, we must remember that we are receivers of Christ. To abound in thanksgiving, we need to live being rooted in Christ. I want you to notice that this morning, this is an active reality, not a passive reality. This is an active reality. To be a follower of Christ, as it describes in the Bible here, it's not like when we go and we go to that little social media site with them, and we follow that media star that has a blue check mark next to them, right? And next to them, they have that little box, and it says follow, right? And you're like, ooh, I follow so-and-so. And so now what they do and their thoughts and their pictures, they pop up on your social media feed because you're a follower. And maybe you're like me, that if something that kind of bores you or doesn't interest you, then all of a sudden you'll mute him for 30 days or mute them for 30 days or you'll just unfollow them. You're a follower, but not really. You don't want to see them too often. You see, what we find here in regards to Christ here in Colossians 2 and verses 6 and 7, when it says to be, therefore, walk in him, rooted and built in him, up in him, it's not a passive follower of Christ. This is an active follower of Christ. There is something intentional about what he is describing here. It is not something that just laissez-faire, it just so happens I'm a follower of Christ and it's just among the many things that go on in my life. No, it is the center. It is the impulse, the thrust behind everything that takes place in my life. It is the reality of Christ being at the center of it all, rooted in Christ. Paul says to the church here, so walk ye in him. In other words, great, you received Christ. You became a receiver in Christ. For me, it was about 12 years of age in the office of my dad. And I remember that moment. And that was a reality that I lived with. And that was a reality that at that moment, that transaction took place. Though I had heard of it my entire life, though I knew of it my entire life, it wasn't until that exact moment that that transaction took place and became a reality in me. But you see, God's work did not end there for John. Life. It did not end there in that moment. You see, that was the moment of justification. That was the moment that God's transaction between his blood and his righteousness and my sin, that transaction took place. But you see, from there forward, that is where at the end of verse number 6, it says, so walk ye in him. In other words, God's not done with you yet. There's more to be done. There's more to grow. There's more to be changed. There is more of the spiritual reality to take place and take effect in the physical world of your life, rooted in Christ. There's an intentionality. If being a receiver of Christ is the first step, rooted in Christ is every step thereafter. If being a receiver of Christ is the first step, then being rooted in Christ is every step thereafter. This morning, I fear that some of us haven't taken a step in a while. I fear that some of us, we look at it and we say, that first step and those first few steps after that were good enough. I think I can coast from here on out. But you see, that's what Paul says. No, dear friend. Being rooted and built up in Him. There's an intentional purpose every single moment, every single day. There is an intentionality about this being rooted and built up in Him. Every single day you are walking in Him. Every single day you are growing in Him. You are growing in the truths of His Word, being built up in Him, that the control of God's Spirit through the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ being imprinted, molded upon your life, so that your friends, so that your spouse, so that your coworkers, so that your friends at school, so that your friends at work, they stop seeing you for you, and they begin to see the characteristics of Christ, and they start to say, you know what, there's something different about you. You don't cuss like you once did. You don't do this like you once did. Hey, you stop being so angry all the time. Wow, there's actually a smile on your countenance. Man, you're not always frowning. Man, you're not always contentious and fighting. What's going on with you? Well, you know what? It's because it's no longer me, but it's Christ in me. I'm being rooted and built up in Christ. Three aspects about this that I looked at, I called it the three T's. The first of being rooted in Christ is a testimony. A testimony defined is a witness born on behalf of something. That is what a testimony is. It's a witness born on behalf of something. You can see a car accident and be called as a witness, right? Your testimony now will be taken into effect because you were a witness on behalf of something that happened. Well, here, and when we look at being rooted in Christ, I believe that every Christian should have a testimony. You should be able to bear witness to what Christ did in you and is doing in you. And you know what? That should be an active conversation that you should be able to spell out. when I began working at Camp Loma de Vida, I remember that went to several trainings. Part of my job at camp is getting to go and ask people and beg people for money. No, I'm just kidding. I go and raise funds, right? And so they would tell us, you know, when you're looking to raise funds, when you're looking to do something like that, then you need to be able to have what's called the elevator pitch. All right. So that means that if you were to get in the elevator with somebody, you're going up to the seventh floor, that within that elevator, you can tell them what you're trying to do. You can tell them what your goals and objectives are. And at the same time, kind of present your vision, your mission. Right. And then you have what's called the coffee presentation. That's over the cup of coffee that you can kind of share with them, with somebody. Hey, this is what I'm trying to do. You got a little bit more time. You're drinking a sip and a cup of coffee. And then you have a dinner presentation. And now you're spending a little bit more time, maybe an hour and a half that you're spending with somebody, and you can lay out a little bit further as to what you're doing. You know what? I believe that there should be that same approach to our witness for Christ. I believe that every single Christian should be able to share with somebody in an elevator how Christ changed your life, what Christ did for you. You say, Mr. Pastor John, it's because I was saved at 5 years of age. I don't care. Christ didn't make a difference to your life. Christ isn't actively making a difference to your life. Christ did something and is doing something in you. You know what? In an elevator, you should be able to share that with somebody. You know what? Over coffee, you should be able to share that with somebody. Across from the lunch table at school, you should be able to share that with somebody. Across the lunchroom at the workplace, you should be able to share that with somebody. When you go out to dinner with your lost relatives and your lost friends, you should be able to take some time and spell out for them what it is that Christ has done and is doing in you. Being rooted in Christ involves a testimony. Being rooted in Christ involves a truth. Involves a truth. It's being built up in Him. It says there in verse number 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Can I tell you this? What it means when it says established in the faith, it means this. It means the truth. We have a testimony, but we have a truth. Dear friend, this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're going to be rooted and built up in Christ this morning, if you're going to end up abounding in thanksgiving, it's because you know not only the God of the Bible, but the Bible of God. You know the truth of God's Word. And this morning, as we go come to a Sunday service and we're here, I trust that you have a book in front of you that you can look at, that you can say, oh yeah, I've spent some time studying a few of those verses. Man, I've spent some time highlighting, underlining, writing down something that stood out to me from God's word because it is something that is a truth that is being poured into me. Dear friend, this morning, if we're going to be rooted in Christ, there is a truth that should be poured into us. But notice that next phrase in verse number 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. There's a testimony, there's a truth. But then comes that next phrase, as ye have been, what is that next word? As ye have been what? Ooh, let's try that one more time. As ye have been what? Taught. Not only does it involve a testimony, not only does it involve a truth, but it involves a teacher. Can I encourage you this morning in regards to that reality? If we're going to end up abounding in thanksgiving, being able to live the life that God has given us in the way that God wants us to, which is abounding in thanksgiving, then there must be some teaching going on in our lives. You realize that that's why we're gathered here. That is why we set aside 40 minutes to be able to give somebody a chance, not to just give some dialogue or to fill up some speech or to fill up one of the items in the program of our religious ceremonies. No, it's because teaching of God's truth being poured into our life is something that will make a difference in our life and being able to be rooted and built up in Him. Can I encourage you in this? Can I tell you this? If you come all three services during the week, you get maybe, 160 minutes? If all of them are 40 minutes long, 120 minutes, excuse me? That's about 2 hours worth of teaching. And you're going to face a world that is going to bombard you through every thing that you watch on Netflix, through everything you watch on Amazon Prime, through everything you watch on your DirecTV, everything you watch on your YouTube channels that you watch. You're going to be bombarded with things that are exactly the opposite of the truth of God's word. And you're going to combat it with 120 minutes of teaching. And I encourage you to continually be a learner. To continually give opportunities for you to be taught. I grew up 13 years of my childhood in a Christian school. I went to 4 years of Bible college. I grew up in a pastor's home. I spent summers going on mission trips and taking and doing camps and everything else. And can I tell you this? That if a week goes by where I'm not spending time in God's word, where I'm not allowing Christian podcasts and teachings, where I'm not reading articles and growing, is a week that I realize that I begin to slip. You see, it's because it doesn't matter all my trajectory, all my past. You see, the Christian fight and the Christian faith is not lived in the past. It's lived in the present. And so therefore, Paul says, being rooted and built up, this is active, this is reality, this is present. This is something that didn't take place in the past. This is something that is actively being done, building up, continually training up, continually being built up and rooted, established in the faith as ye have been taught. Rooted in Christ involves a testimony. It involves a truth. It involves a teacher. Give opportunities. I'm thankful. You know, sometimes that teacher has been personal mentors of mine that I've given the right to speak truth to my life. I find so many Christians that take offense when somebody comes alongside them to try and help them. Get out of my business, man. What are you doing talking? It's none of your business. Well, then find somebody whose business it is and allow them to speak truth into you. Because as you divorce yourself from any teachers of truth in your life, you are opening your heart and opening your life to nothing but the lies of the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. They're very good and they're very convincing. And they will take you to a place where you will no longer be rooted and built up in Him. You'll be ruined by sin and destroyed by its practices. And this morning, dear friend, God's word tells us in a instructs us, if we're going to be able to abound in thanksgiving, then that we must be receivers of Christ. We must be rooted in Christ. But not only that, look at that last part of the verse, number 7. It says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Not only are we to be receivers of Christ, not only are we to be rooted in Christ, but we are to be responsive to Christ. Responsive to Christ. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks. To give thanks, we saw that video before. It ended with those verses. Give thanks in all things, give thanks. I want to tell you this morning, the deeper we go into the Lord, the more humbled, grateful, and thankful we become. The deeper we go into the Lord, the more humbled, grateful, and thankful we become. You show me a person who has a continually thankful, grateful spirit, continually grateful, thankful, humble heart, I'll show you a person who has gone deeper in the Lord. I'll show you a person who has grown and been rooted and built up in Christ because they have become responsive to Christ. See, God does a little thing and they just are thankful and grateful and oh, so humbled by God's goodness. You know what God does? God says, oh, that's awesome. Let me give him a little bit more. And he praises God and he thanks God and she praises God and she thanks God and she humbles her heart in thanking and being grateful to God. The deeper we go in the Lord, the more humbled, grateful, and thankful we become. We become responsive. You see, Paul says, look, as you have received Christ, as you are being rooted and built up in Christ, and as you are established in the faith, then all of a sudden, you're going to become responsive to Christ and what Christ does and the working of Christ and the working that Christ did for you. That moment you were saved, the moment that he satisfied every inner need that you had by the realities of who he is. You will become responsive to Christ. This morning, I want to encourage us, and I do mean us, because we all struggle with it. So easy to see what's around us and say, but I don't have. But I, if I could only have, I would be so happy if only my wife listened to me. If only my husband did what was, I would be so much more thankful. No, God has given us everything we need to abound in thanksgiving. We have been receivers of Christ. We are to be rooted in Christ. Then we will become responsive to Christ. And Christ will allow us to abound, to rejoice, to live in that thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the truths of it. Father, I am convicted by even the realities of looking about it once again this morning. So many times we wait for that big break before we give you thanks. Sometimes it has to be until everything's just right, and then we give you thanks. But Father, your word teaches us that we have everything in you. Regardless of circumstances and situations, the reality of our heart, the reality of our soul is enough for which we should be thankful and grateful for. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be receivers of you, to be rooted and built up in you, to be responsive to you, to your word, to your truths, to your working in us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps this morning you say, Pastor John, this morning God has spoken to me in the area of being thankful. And this week I'm just going to make it a determination to just start practicing those realities, to reflect on those realities, and also to make it something that I am actively being rooted and built up in him. God's spoken to me this morning, and I want to respond to him. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you this morning if God spoke to your heart. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Perhaps this morning you say, Pastor John, I can't think of a moment where I've ever been a receiver of Christ. I can't put my finger on a date on the calendar. I can't think of a moment when I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to become my Lord and Savior. And therefore, I will never be able to abound in thanksgiving because I've never received Jesus Christ. But tonight, this morning, God has spoken to my life. And that reality and that need has become present in my life. And I'd like to ask Jesus Christ to become my Lord and Savior this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? I'd love to pray for you. And I'd love to do for God to do a work in your heart this morning. If that's you this morning. If not, I'll leave the invitation there for each and every heart to receive it. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for your grace. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor John. Amen. That was a blessing and encouragement. I hope you leave encouraged this morning. A couple quick announcements that we have, and then we will be dismissed. By the way, how many are on vacation already as far as students and teachers? Is everybody? Oh, wow, that's awesome. I was going to say how many are out of school, but that would mean like it doesn't matter. Like we're all out of school at some point, right? But amen. All right. Anybody traveling? Who's traveling for Thanksgiving? All right, let's pray for one another. We got a few that are going to be traveling for Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord for this. I love Thanksgiving. There's just something about it. To just maybe it's the food, right? As we get older, that's right. Brother Gus just gave me the big yes. That's right. Food. Amen. Guys, two real quick things, all right? After our Sunday school, I know the bulletin says after the morning service, but it's after our Sunday school